I'm Faith Middleton, and this show is about the richness of life. We're going to talk about celebrating someone. Thanks for listening in Connecticut, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, and New York, including the East End of Long Island. We all know how surprising life can be, good or bad surprises. And, you know, the bad things get talked about a lot in terms of media. Bad things that happen are news. A little less so for good things. I don't know why that is. It's just the way it works. So we thought, how about if we take a little time on the show to pay tribute to the people in our lives who've been there for us or for someone we love, a friend, teacher, a nurse, a relative, a stranger. Who would you like to pay tribute to right now? Our phone lines are open to you at 203-776-9677. For easy remembering, 203-776-WNPR. Longtime contributor Bruce Clements is with me by phone. He writes young adult novels for Farrar Straus and was board chair of the Children's Law Center in Hartford. Bruce, welcome to the show. Do you have somebody in mind to celebrate?
Oh, yeah, I absolutely do. Okay. Bob Stinnard. Bob Stinnard, whom I knew as a young guy when I was a clergyman, God, a long time ago. And Bob would call me occasionally with ideas and questions, and I would pick up the phone, and Bob would say, "Have you got 2 minutes?" And I'd say, "Yes." And then Bob, in 2 minutes, would do whatever it was, say whatever it was, ask whatever the question was, and then say, "Okay, bye." And There was in that you were aware that he was thinking of you. You were aware that he had really a much higher sense of the value of your time than it was really worth. And there was a continual desire to share and to learn that was marvelous. And he died a long time ago. I'd like to think that he knew how much I appreciated that.
That is so good. I was thinking about how much contact matters to me and to lots of other people, obviously. And what a great way to stay in contact with someone you love, admire, whose views you appreciate. What a great way to do that.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Yeah. And let me throw in one other person at the moment, because I got really not too short a list. And that's you. I mean, you you show up in my life. You persist in finding my company happy. You know, I mean, there's a you trust me, and this I think the gift of trust is so huge. Thank you, Faith.
Wow. This is so Bruce and I don't talk to each other before the show, and we just don't, and that way it is fresh. I don't know what Bruce is going to say, and he doesn't know what I'm going to say, and so obviously we both went to our corners and we made a list, and you know, here I find on my list you, Bruce. You know, in some ways, it's probably not surprising, but on the other hand, I don't know. I can't find any language that would describe how much I love you, nor, you know, I don't think I could get through it if I tried to describe what you mean to me and what you've meant to me my whole adult life. This started when Bruce was my English professor in college, and I was sitting in my chair before the show, and all I could think is that if I ended up knowing that I was about to die, that I would say I'm among the luckiest people ever to live because I was even alive when you were alive and that we loved each other. I don't know. You've taught me what unconditional love is, and I just keep thinking no matter how I try, I just could never and will never come close to achieving the kind of humanity and wisdom that you have. There is just no one like you. And I don't know. It's enough to make me think cloning is a good idea.
Thank you, darling.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you back. Okay. 203-776-WNPR. If you would like to pay tribute to someone you know, a stranger, why not? Eric, Faith Middleton with Bruce Clements. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hi, Eric.
Thank you for doing this show. First off, I think it's fantastic, and I fully agree. We have enough negativity. It's really nice to hear something positive.
That's thank you, and me too. I mean, we do this for ourselves as much as anybody, I guess. So, Eric, do you have somebody?
I do. Yeah, I would like to. excuse me. I would like to thank my wife. Her name is Maza, and she is the most amazing person I've ever met in my life. I feel fortunate every day that I get to wake up and see her beautiful face. You know, through thick and thin, she really shows me the meaning of love every day. And I am constantly amazed by her. I'm just overwhelmed. So that's it.
Hard to put into words, huh? Yeah, good job, though. And how long have you been together?
14 years.
14 years. Wow, coming up on the big 15. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I'm glad you found each other.
Thank you.
Yeah,
me too.
Thanks.
And how lucky you are to have someone you don't deserve.
It feels that way sometimes. I mean, I do the best to be the best man that I can be for her. And I just, clearly she stuck around for 14 years. So far, so good.
Yeah. Lucky. Sounds like in both directions.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Eric.
Thank you, Faith.
Okay. Bye-bye. 203-776-WNPR. Daniel, we have another call, Bruce, and then I want to get back to your list. Daniel, go ahead.
Oh, hi. My name's Daniel. I'm from New London, Connecticut, and I just wanted to pay tribute to my Aunt Brooke.
Okay. Tell me about that.
Well, my Aunt Brooke just turned 60. Past March, and she actually just is a wonderful person, and she has inspired me to write every day that I'm alive. I mean, she was a creative writer and creative writing teacher back in Indiana. She's from Indiana, and I just truly think she's a mentor to me, and she recently did my introduction to a chapbook that I'm putting out, self-published. So
good for you. You know, isn't this amazing? The ways that people can bond with each other in families over a project like this, and that, you know, here she is, engaged in this writing with you, and the love you feel for her because of that. It's just terrific to hear about. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you so much, Faith.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. 203-776-WNPR. Bruce, another tribute?
Yeah, Carter Davidson. Carter Davidson was at one time the youngest college president in the country. He was president of Knox College, I think, at the age of 31. And
wow.
Yeah. And his enormous gift, well, he taught me two things. One, to like bad movies. And that was a great gift. We used to go to Carter Davidson movies, and that meant just terrible movies. And he taught me to love Tarzan. So, I mean, that's no small thing. But the happy and grand thing about Carter was that he was interested in getting people together, not for his own career, but he would see someone and know, you know, you should get in touch with this newspaper editor, or I know just somebody who has exactly that kind of interest. He would bridge people and then step back. He didn't ask for thanks or whatever. He just rejoiced in getting people together and bringing people into worlds that without him they would not have known.
Mm, that's a great one. What's he doing now?
Carter died many years ago. He died as president of the American Association of Independent Colleges and Universities after a distinguished career at Union College in Schenectady, New York. And a terrific believer in democracy, too, if I can throw a third thing about Carter. If the vote was against him, he did not repine. He did not hold a grudge. He said, if that's the way it is, that's the way it is. And he went often enough with views that would not have been his, but he knew belonged to the college or whatever it was.
Remarkable. That's great. Thank you so much, Bruce. All right. Stay with us. I wanted to invite you. Certainly, we want your stories here on the show, 203-776-WNPR. I'm with Bruce Clements, our longtime contributor. And also, if you would like to pay tribute to somebody and you either can't get through or you want to do it quickly, tweet us at FaithWNPR, FaithWNPR, and we will retweet that. And so you get to have a little Hall of Fame for someone you care about and appreciate in your life. 203-776-9677 or tweet me at FaithWNPR. We're going to take a quick break and be right back with more of your stories and ours, paying tribute to someone in your life, a friend or a stranger. Stay with us. I'm Faith Middleton. Thank you so much for listening. I want to pay tribute to just a heck of a producer, Lori Mack, who's our senior producer here on the show. Marion Roy is our volunteer producer on the show today. We could not get along with her. It's one of those days where we are so grateful to see her face and have her talent on the show. Bruce Clements is with me. And Bruce, I have a story. One of my dear friends told me this story last night when I said what I was going to do the show on. And I promised to pay tribute for her. And this is about health, so we're going to keep her name anonymous. But so my friend feels a lump and thinks it's nothing. And, you know, very soon after that, she's asked to appear at Yale New Haven Hospital's an address they gave her after she was examined. And she gets there and she sees it's a cancer center and she thinks it's got to be an error. And then upstairs is this team of doctors and they appear and they tell her she has acute lymphoma. And she says, you know, how bad is this on a scale of 1 to 10? And they say 7. And she said, well, how long do I have? And they say, maybe a year or maybe many years. You know, it all depends. And so she says to me, she was just numb and decides she's got to take a walk for a few minutes. So at this point in her life, she had become a stockbroker just that year. And she had made her first real money. And to treat herself to celebrate that, she had gone out and she'd bought that small Mercedes convertible, the two-seater, green. So she says she stumbles to her parking spot. She thinks she's going to sit in the car for a little while and try and pull herself together. And as she's walking to the car, she sees a policeman on this tall horse, and he's standing there in front of a tow truck that is in the process of cranking the back end of her car in the air. And she said the first thought in her head was, if they take this car is my good luck charm, and if they take this car, I'm a dead woman. So she walks up to this police officer and she looks up at him on this tall horse and she points at the cancer center street sign and she says, sir, I just came from in there. I have gotten really bad news. And she says, tears are streaming down her face now. And the officer looks at her for some time and then he just says nothing. He gets off his horse. He motions to the tow operator, take it down. The car comes down, the wheels hit the ground again, and he holds out his arm and he escorts my friend to her car. He opens the door for her and says, I'm sorry, have a good day, ma'am. So that friend of mine wants to pay tribute to a police officer on a horse in New Haven, though she doesn't know his name, and she wants to say thank you for your kindness.
Wow.
If you have a friend, a lover, a stranger, a nurse, a doctor, a teacher, whoever it might be, that you would like to pay tribute to, that is what we're doing on the show. Call and tell us at 203-776-WNPR. Bruce, you know what I was thinking about? Sometimes when the chips are down, there are people in your life and you say, well, of course, if I had to project, that person is going to be there for me. And you can get such a surprise because that person who's behaved a certain way in your life doesn't show up at that tough moment. And someone you would never guess would be there for you is there for you. That can happen sometimes.
Yes. And it's, let me pay tribute to Dave Stetzel. Dave Stetzel was a very, very uptight, very sort of square, very politically and personally conservative guy, whom I never expected would be anything but glad to see me go. And he was a member of my church in Schenectady. And when I said that I announced my retirement or that I was moving on, and actually at that time I had no idea what I was going to do. I just knew I wasn't going to do that.
You mean be a minister?
Yeah. And Dave came to me, and he said how sorry he was to see me go. And it told me, and I really have never forgotten it. It told me that if you assume things about people, either that they are your enemies or that they are hopelessly different, you rule out something very important and very pregnant in your life. And Dave taught me that, and I've never forgotten that or stopped being grateful to him for that.
For his decency, generosity. 203-776-9677, or celebrate someone by tweeting us, and we'll retweet it. Faith WNPR, FAITHWNPR. Robert, welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Robert. We're great. Go ahead, please.
Pardon me?
You can go ahead. Thanks for being on the show.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to tell a story. I was in the Navy, stationed in Key West in 1972, and because I had just worked on a submarine for about 20-hour days for several weeks, they said on the day before Christmas Eve, we're going to give you 6 days off. It doesn't count towards leave, but, you know, you have to call us back, you know, 3 days to make sure, you know, you're not in jail or something like that. So I could go anywhere. So I drove up from Key West to Miami, Florida, and military standby where I could get a round-trip ticket for $75, which I did. And I'm hanging around the airport, flight after flight's taken off, and I'm just sitting here, and I'm not going to end up going anywhere. This is Christmas Eve. About 6 o'clock at night, there's this gentleman, a very well-dressed gentleman, and we sat down and started talking. He must have been about 60 years old. I was 18, and I told him what my story was, and he says, here, come with me. So he went to the counter where the ticket people were registering people for the flight, and he says, I want to give this guy my ticket, and I'll take his ticket. And as it turns out, it was a first-class ticket, and he ended up giving me his ticket, and I swapped my $75 round-trip ticket for him. And I said, what's your name? I said, you know, I'll pay you the money, the extra money, whatever. And he said, look, Merry Christmas. He said, you're in a service. You should be home for Christmas. I don't have to be anywhere. Merry Christmas.
Wow.
And, you know, I mean, that's 1972, and I can still remember it. I never had a chance to thank the guy. If he's still alive, maybe he's listening somewhere. Strange things happen.
Wouldn't that be lucky? If he is, tweet me, Faith WNPR. Thank you so much. That is a great story. Really, thank you. Thank you so much for being part of this. Bruce, our volunteer producer on the show, Marion Roy, just before we began, I said, do you want to thank anybody? And she said, I do. Pat Kaplan of Branford, Connecticut, for being her best friend and support for Marion's entire life since 1967, I guess. She has been there for emergencies day or night. Whenever there was a difficult situation, she has given such excellent advice, and it has been so helpful to Marion. She said the thing about it is that she listens so carefully, and yet she doesn't tell you what to do. And she's also been such a good friend in good times, and they've spent so many, you know, fun days sitting around just talking or going to shows and movies. The best kind of friend, apparently, and an incredible human being, Pat Kaplan. So thanks for the story, Marion. Okay, we got Dwayne Faith Middleton with Bruce Clements. Go ahead, Dwayne.
Hey.
Hi, Dwayne. Go ahead.
Hey. Okay, I got one. I have two of them.
Okay, Dwayne, can I ask a big favor? Can you do one so I can just get as many of your buddies on the show as possible?
Okay, I'll tell you what. I'll tell you the one that's very memorable.
Okay.
When I was 5 years old, my mother and I took a train from New Brunswick, New Jersey to Elizabeth, New Jersey to visit my grandmother. I'm 58 years old now. I was about 5 years old at the time. We took a train, and on the train, the conductor, sitting with my mother, naturally, the conductor, the guy that walks around to collect the tickets, he just gave me this mesh bag full of chocolate coins. You know, the...
Oh, yeah.
You know, the chocolate coins that are wrapped in the foil?
Yeah, I sure do.
It's a little mesh bag. And I don't know why that makes such an impression on me, but... That was like, I'm 58. I was when I was 5 years old. What's the math? I don't know. I was 50. That was 51 years ago or something like that. But I don't know. I never forgot it. And so my wife one day bought me a little mesh bag, chocolate coins, and I hang them on the inside of my shop. I'm a sign painter, and they're inside of my shop on a hook. And every time I see that mesh bag of coins, I think of that train conductor. I was like, boy. I mean, obviously, I'm sure he's dead now, but I said to myself, I wish I could find him and just say, I remember you doing that, but, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I know what you mean. And also, can I say, you have a pretty great wife.
She is terrific.
Really, to know what to do exactly to bring back your best one of your best memories. Hey, thanks so much for calling in.
I love your show.
Oh, thanks. Thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bruce, you have somebody to pay tribute to or an observation?
Well, I mean, these people who just come out of nowhere, there is something so special about being addressed by someone who owes you nothing, who does not know you, who has no prospect of knowing you, but who out of themselves looks at you and in some ways validates your existence. You know, says they maybe they represent everybody, or the anonymous world, and the anonymous world comes in and hands you a bag of chocolate gold coins, and it reminds you of your specialness. It makes you mm-hmm. feel, my God, this is not a lonely universe. I'm not sitting here alone. Somebody knows me. And values me, who will get nothing out of it except the joy of that perception of me. It's
yeah.
So marvelous.
Yeah. You know, Bruce, I don't know why there's something you said that made me remember that when I was ready to go to college, I was supposed to be going to art school, an art school college. And, you know, several things had happened in my life at the time, and I wasn't able to go. And so it was a kind of a scramble, and I needed money to go to college, and I was very worried. And I really don't even remember how, I ended up getting a $500 scholarship from the American Association of University Women. And I remember at the time thinking, these people don't even know me. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if I applied. I don't recall applying, or, you know, did a guidance counselor do it? But, you know, there were this group of people who cared that there were young women in you know, because of some circumstances, in need at this time, and gave me what was a lot of money to me then, $500. And, you know, it helped a great deal to go to school, you know, and it felt like I had backing. And I remember being so touched at the time. I think I really haven't thanked them enough. I just...
That people see something in you you don't see yourself, but you are reminded then, oh my goodness, there's stuff there. There's stuff about me I don't know yet, and it's good.
Yeah, I mean, there's a bunch of people who don't even know you who are believing in you. It was really, really quite amazing. Susan, Faith Middleton with Bruce Clements, and we're talking about friends, strangers to pay tribute to for any reason. Go ahead, Susan.
Hi, Faith. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Go ahead.
Okay. I am actually driving home from a three-day stay at Canyon Ranch that my wonderful mother-in-law took me on. I turned 50 this year, and she took me and my two sister-in-laws away for 3 days. She did it when I turned 40, and in between 40 and 50 and before 40, she's just the most wonderful, loving person I could have ever asked for. I lost my mom 8 years ago, and she has truly stepped up and has been a wonderful mother to me.
Well, aren't you lucky? You know, it can happen.
I'm so lucky.
Yeah, that you marry into a family, and you know, you don't know how that's going to go, and how amazing, how lucky that you.
And I have to tell you, she's my husband's stepmother, but we don't call her step; we call her Bubby, which is a Jewish term for a beloved grandmother, and she truly is.
Yeah. Great. Lucky you. All right. Thanks so much. Glad you called.
Thank you.
Okay. Take care. Thanks for calling 203-776-WNPR. Bruce?
People who suffer to make beautiful things. And I think, for whatever reason at the moment, of Flannery O'Connor, who the Southern novelist who wrote Wise Blood, for example, did not do a lot of writing, has, I think, a couple of collections of stories, had lupus, and so fought that through her middle age and died early because of it, and dealt with people who were not lovable, people with great flaws, and did it with such grace and such open-eyedness that she enables you to feel an understanding for people you otherwise would not begin to understand. Mm-hmm. And you just know that not just because of her illness, but because she made herself look and made herself say it as straight as she possibly could, as without decoration as she possibly could. This determination to tell the truth and to be public about it, which must have cost her enormously, and I'm hugely grateful for.
Mm. Boy, what a good description of why we read novels, you know? Oh, God. Thank you. Thank you for doing that, Bruce. Anna, Faith Middleton with Bruce Clements, paying tribute to someone. Go ahead, Anna.
Hi. So I'm a nurse at a very large hospital in Hartford, uh-huh. which I won't say the name, but I work in a very busy critical care unit. And as a nurse on this unit, you know, we're prone to burnout because our patients are very sick, demanding a lot of hard work, long hours. But I just want to thank the patients that I had this week because, you know, our patients are so sick and, you know, you're just trying your hardest to get them better and they're just focusing on getting better. But when someone really stops and says thank you and kind of acknowledges your hard work, it really means a lot and it really helps to combat that burnout. So I just want to say thank you to the three women that I was taking care of this week that really made my job very enjoyable.
Oh, well, thank you for what you do.
Uh-oh.
Really, thank you. Thank you for what you do. I know there are so many people who join me in saying that. We on occasion have a call-in show for nurses to say thank you. And the stories that have come in here, I bet you just don't even know how appreciated you are. So thanks for what you do. You know, I was just, Joy Wolke, who's been on the show through the years, for many years, is unfortunately her last appearances on the show were during a time when, you know, she had been given a terrible prognosis and she was going to die. And she did die. And in her last couple days, I saw her at hospice in Branford. And I had that feeling you're talking about, where I just looked around at the nurses and the doctors and what they were doing. I had sat by Joy's bed for quite a while, and I just looked around and I thought, what work this is. You know, what a thing to be side by side with somebody at such a time. So really, thanks for what you do. 203-776-9677 if you'd like to call in and pay tribute to someone as thanks, whether it's a friend or a stranger. I'm with Bruce Clements, and we are going to take a short break and then come back and hear more of your stories about great people. Thank you for doing that. Stay with us. I'm Faith Middleton. Thank you so much for listening. If you would like to tweet us to pay tribute, we will retweet. We'd love to do that. Faith, WNPR. That's the address. I'm with Bruce Clements, and we are also paying tribute to people and hearing your great stories. Bruce, before I take a call, do you want to make a comment?
No, but I want to throw in another category of greatness, and that is people who get your sense of humor.
Oh, that's a good one.
Martha Battelle, who's our middle child, and she's been going through a rather hard time in the last few months. But when we get on the phone, we have a kind of humor of language and of common experience and expectation, that we always laugh. And to have that other person who is tuned into your vocabulary and whose vocabulary you're tuned into, so that you already hear the laugh before you've gotten to the end of the line. That's just so reassuring. It's another kind of not being alone experience that is marvelous.
Yeah, it's being heard, appreciated, loved when someone gets you that way.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
When you have that magic exchange with another person. So Martha, good. Our producer, Lori Mack, wants to pay tribute to a cab driver in New York City named Ray. He was the guy who picked her up in the morning when she had this very early morning shift at Fox Radio at the time. And he would sit out there every morning and wait for her. And one night, she said, his car broke down. And the next morning, he was at her door in his own car, so she would not miss her ride. Lori says, only in New York.
That's wonderful.
Ray, wherever you are, wouldn't it be magic if you were listening? But thank you. Or maybe somebody knows the cab driver Ray in New York City. That's from Lori Mack. Catherine, Faith Middleton with Bruce Clements. Go ahead, Catherine.
So I lost my brother about 2 years ago.
Sorry.
And that night, I spent the night at my sister's house. We were all together, my whole family, you know, just trying to be together. And I woke up the next morning, and I took a really long run, you know, and I just was running around West Hartford. And I finally stopped, and I just started crying. And I was outside of Hall's Market in West Hartford. So I sat down on a picnic table, and I just kind of put my foot up and I put my head down. And about 2 minutes later, a woman walked out of Paul's Market with a glass of water, ice water, and a bag of ice. And she's like, "Oh, I thought you hurt your ankle. Are you okay? Is everything all right?" And so I took the bag of ice and I took the glass of water and I thanked her profusely. I said, "Thank you so much." And that was my turning point. It had only been about 24 hours. And I still felt like this is the point now where I understand that people are incredible and the world is full of magic, and people can gift you so much that instead of making this a really tragic event, I need to turn my life around and change because this one person reached out to me and said, "Do you need water?" And a bag of ice. It was just, for me, it was really, really meaningful.
Oh,
gosh, yes.
Yeah. Just when, you know, when a stranger just does that, just sees someone who might need something, and I did need something. It wasn't necessarily water, but at that moment, it really, it filled in perfectly.
Yeah.
That's a great story. Thank you very much for being on the show.
Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. Bruce, I think I want to pay tribute to a 13-year-old child that I know. Who told her family that she was certain that she's a boy. And the family suggested these counselors, and the counselors interviewed the child and agreed and said, "We think this girl is in fact, a boy, and, you know, we would advise going with this." And I've watched this happen, and this child has summoned the greatest courage. I mean, I really tell you the truth. There's a lot of talk about transgender, and intellectually I think I get it. But to know these people and to watch a girl decide, "I'm really not a girl. I'm positive. I am a boy." And to you know, find myself saying, "Well, wow, what is gender? What is this all about? Oh my, now I see this." What bravery this child has had, 13 years old. What bravery.
Yeah.
Good days and bad days. And the parents, I want to pay tribute to the parents and the extended family, because the parents said, "Wow." And then they said, "You know, okay, we are in a family together. We are on a journey together, and we're going with you on this journey." And this child has a twin. The twin girl said, "I'm in on the journey." The entire extended family has said the same thing. No one in the family has ever had experience with this before, but everybody has agreed, "We're on this journey together." It is something to witness. So brave.
It does show you the difference between a kind of intellectual understanding, which may be in its way very deep, but really only works in one slice of your life. And then you experience someone who is living it, and it's an entirely different thing. It's the gift of the person rather than the idea to you.
And it has caused me to do a lot of soul searching. You know, I think to myself, well, I knew this child before as a girl, and who she was as a person, you know, to the extent that you know a person at 13. And then I thought, okay, so now this is a boy, and I'm trying to learn to fix my language, and I think all of that family is doing that too, and is learning as we go, kind of a thing. But then I thought, well, like, who is there a difference in who this person is now? And I thought, well, in the whole family seems to be conversing and saying, well, no, it's the same person. It's just a different gender. And I think, well, is that true? Is that true? You know, I mean, it is a learning experience for all friends and family and associates. It's really an amazing, amazing thing. So I just want to say thank you. Watching that family Wow, thank you for your courage, your bravery, your understanding. You know, I'm sure fear, anxiety, love, all of it. What a brave group of people.
Yes.
So Jackie, Faith Middleton with Bruce Clements. Go ahead. You there, Jackie?
Hello?
Hi, sure, yes. Go ahead, Jackie.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
I got through.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, I have a friend. I've only known him for about a year, but 5 years ago he lost his wife very suddenly and was left with three girls, like 12, 15, and 17, and it was a dual-income home. And in the last 5 years, he's just done such an amazing job. He works very hard, never complains. One of the older girl graduated college recently and just got a full-time job, and the middle girl just graduated Nanawagan Woodbury with honors and is on her way to Sacred Heart University.
Mm.
And the 13-year-old does all-star cheerleading, which he gets her to all of his practices and all the competitions, and actually was on the adult cheer team a few years ago himself, which, if you knew this guy, that does not really suit what you think he would do. And he's just quite an amazing man, very unassuming. I'm very inspired by him and his dedication.
Yeah, me too. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
All right, if you have a friend, lover, stranger, you know, someone like a nurse, a doctor, a teacher, a person, the postal worker, someone, or something you witnessed where you just want to pay tribute to what you saw happening, call and tell us now at 203-776-WNPR. We understand that, you know, really challenging, scary things make the news. And, you know, on occasion, we also hear good things that happen. And we just felt like turning the show over to this. As a chance to say out loud, to show our appreciation out loud for people that we know and don't know who've done things that mean something. Bruce, should I take another call, or do you have a comment?
Well, I have a person.
Oh, yeah, go.
Yeah, okay. Dennis O'Brien, who was involved for a long time, and I dare say he still is in one way or another, with Wyndham, Connecticut politics. Who brought me and Hannah, my wife, into the world of political work and the various aspects of that work, the degree to which one has simply to put one foot in front of the other and ring the next doorbell. And he brought me and us, I think, a new respect, a fresh respect, a deeper respect for politics, local and state and national, and of the and a respect for those who practice that art in an uncynical way. And it's Dennis O'Brien who helps me to when someone in the circle makes some really superficial and silly comment about politics and politicians, to perhaps challenge them on that rather superficial assumption about the world.
Yeah. Oh, that's exactly what I was thinking while you were talking. I thought this is the part that doesn't get talked about anymore in the 20-year demonization of government and people in government getting thrown under the bus. Of course, there are people in government who are inadequate, just as in any profession. But still, people like this man you're discussing, Bruce, Dennis O'Brien, is that his name?
Right.
Yeah. You know, that's a whole other segment of people working in government that I'm so glad you told that story. That's what I'm trying to say. 203-776-9677. If you want to tweet us, we will retweet. You could tweet us at FaithWNPR to pay tribute to someone. Sue, go ahead. Faith Middleton with Bruce Clements.
Hi, Faith, and hi, Bruce.
Hi.
I'm calling to thank a boss. I got hired about 10 years ago, well, a little over 10 years ago, by someone who believed in me And I did not actually get the job that I applied for. He called me and he said, listen, you didn't get the job. It was between two people. He said, you didn't get the job, but I really liked you, and I think you could work well here. And, you know, I'm going to hang on to your resume, and maybe something will come up sometime, and you'll get a job here. And I was really angry at the time. I was so mad that I didn't get the job, and I really thought that I should have gotten it. And I thought, well, I'm never going to hear from this guy again because he just blew me off. I didn't get the job. Hmm. But about a month later, I got a phone call from him, and he said, you know, we position open, and you were the first person I thought of. And it really was a whole month later, at least, maybe even 5 weeks. And I said, you're kidding. You really did save my resume, and you really did think of me. So maybe that will give some people who are looking for jobs hope, number one, that it does happen, that people do call you back. And if we're one of two, that maybe you're going to get in too. And I just want to thank him for following through with what he said he would do, which was maybe if something came up, he would call me, and he did.
Yes, it just does seem like something people just say. And there he goes, the guy who cared enough to follow through. He meant it. Thank you so much
really
for calling.
Did.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Hey, Bruce, I want to add on to something. When you were talking about this person in government who you really respect, I want to say something about the Kennedy family, because I would like to thank them. When I was a young person, my mother worked for the Kennedy family, and we lived with them in Hyannisport. And this was the year that Jack Kennedy was running for the presidency that summer. And I would play. My job each day was to just play with the kids, and we hung out together, had the best time every single day. And then one day they had to go see a relative, and they all took off, and they all left, and I didn't go. And so there I am sitting on a stoop, you know, with my chin in my hands, just, you know, nothing to do. And out comes the family, as usual, to go out on the sailboat at 5 o'clock and have cocktails and talk and see how beautiful it was. And it was all grown-ups, of course. And one of the Kennedy family members looks down at me and says, you know, why are you here? And I said, well, all the kids went someplace and I didn't go. And she said, well, then you're coming with us. And out I went, the only child, on that boat, sailing, and off we went into the waters off of Hyannisport. And I thought, to this day, I have never forgotten. That is the kind of family they were and are. Such lovely people. They loved children. Honestly, what a great family. And so, you know, I just want to say thank you. I've never forgotten it. It meant the world to me. And that grown-ups
that's wonderful.
Yeah, that grown-ups would see a child that way. And there was no thing about, oh, a child can't be with us. You know, it's grown-ups now. No, it was, hey, here's a lonely child. Come on.
Well, and there are people who, when you're a child, address you as an equal. I'm so glad you said that, because that, I think, that happens not infrequently, that you run into someone who addresses you as if you were their age and their experience and their capacity and their energy, and suddenly you're then in that other world as a member, and you never get over that. You never get over the desire to keep that place among the mature.
Yeah, and here I was, a child of an employee, let's not forget.
Yeah.
And, you know, certain assumptions could be made about that, and that wasn't the case. That's not how they acted. Thank you so much, Bruce Clements. I love you to death. Thank you so much. All right. Thank you for listening to our show. As always, this show is about the richness of life, and you can find the books, people, great recipes, value wines, and cocktails that we feature right now online at foodschmooze.org. Click on programs. In New Haven, I'm Faith Middleton.